Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Good morning, Scott.
Josh, my friend, also joined by another inevitable thing, hashtag inevitable thing, because Bethesda's behind the Indiana Jones game. And this isn't to, you know, do a big old poop on Bethesda, but I did, when you sent me the link for this, I just went, oh, for the love of course you are, of course this is happening. So the news is that Machine Games making the new Indiana Jones game that Bethesda are publishing, that Mr. Todd Howard is an executive producer on. They, in terms of the amount of staff that they're hiring, have put a roll call out for a monetization and live designer, alongside a couple of other roles as well. But the role for the monetization designer, which in itself makes you go, oh God, why does Indiana Jones need a monetization designer? The role requires someone who can develop and manage the economy slash monetization components to meet player expectations and creative directions, alongside game features that monetize and re-engage players in a consumer-friendly way. That's the thing. So the only other time I completely forgot that Wolfenstein Youngblood even happened until you mentioned it. And then I was like, oh God, yeah, they did that. And so I went back in and I looked back into all the microtransaction kerfuffle that was around that game. Because back at launch, when Youngblood first came out, you could buy boosters on the console versions to help you get through the game faster. And obviously that game was very much geared around grinding and loot systems and blah, all the horrible stuff. And that stuff was amended. They took out the boosters, but they left in, like, you know, you can still buy gold bars and you can still buy, you know, you can even fast track ways to get more skins and different skins for your armor and your weapons, but they got rid of the XP boost stuff, or at least the boosters to get you through the game faster. But regardless, is there any way where this works? Is there any way at all?
Scott Tilford, it's like, it's almost like an oxymoron saying consumer-friendly, like microtransactions and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like every single time we see an advert for this or a publisher or a developer comes out to explain that these microtransactions are actually really good for you this time, like it never works out that way, even if they're done well. Like, not all microtransactions are as bad as, you know, FIFA or Star Wars Battlefront 2 when that first launched. But I feel like it's always an uphill battle. And if you have to come out to clarify that something is consumer friendly, it's the only reason that you're doing it really is kind of like for the money. And there is so much money in microtransactions. But it reminds me, and not to go on too much of a tangent, but there was once a landlord, Scott, in town called Nice Landlords, right? And they might be nice landlords, but I always thought that if you have to put that little bit before your name, if you have to make it obvious that you're the nice ones of this, then there's something kind of fundamentally wrong. And if you're pitching yourself as having the nice microtransactions, it's like, are they going to be nice though? Or are we just kind of admitting that inherently all of these are kind of predatory at some level? And it kind of, you know, I'm not kind of cast too much judgment right now on what Indiana Jones, the game, is going to turn out to be. But Bethesda as a, you know, publishing company is no stranger to this. Like you said, they tried to implement that in Wolfenstein, which Machine Games obviously worked on. And then they went more or less all in on them when it came to Fallout 76. So there's all, like, I guess it's just the future now. This is just how games are. They're always going to have monetization in-game in some form. And Indiana Jones is just no exception.
Well, first, when you said town, most of the people watching this won't know what you mean, but it's that you mean Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of
Newcastle.
England.
Newcastle, yes.
Yes, that's where the nice landlords are, which, in theory anyway, most of them are not nice landlords. But, yeah, in terms of the monetization stuff, it's always that thing of just being like, is this just the way that it is? And I know that, you know, the other week we had that report where it was, I think it was Call of Duty that made multiple billions of dollars.
$2 billion.
It just insane. And so it's that thing where, you know, EA were put on blast after Battlefront 2, and their whole thing was like, people want this stuff, they want to pay for this stuff. And clearly there is a substantial amount of people that are happy to throw their money at, you know, 50 pence for a skin, £1 for a skin, or whatever. And like, I don't know, I don't like resigning to the reality of like, well, this is just the way it is. Like, it's not that they can't be done well. And I think that obviously it's always case by case basis. And some titles, it depends. It's a feeling, in the words of Finn from episode 9. It's a feeling. Where some games just feel inherently more greedy, or it doesn't feel like the initial base version of the game is worthwhile in itself to then, you know, be valid of putting more money into it. Like Fallout 76 felt like a hodgepodge in the first place. And then it was like, oh, we also want to do the extra credits and the different unlocks, and that stuff was also broken, so it was like, what the hell am I paying for? As opposed to, I completely understand the reality of making sure that the devs that continue to work on a project, a live service game, need to be paid month by month, year on year. That stuff's totally fine. In this case, though, because it's Bethesda, because it's such a monetizable property, do I have faith in it? Not really. And I kind of see a storefront of like fancy deluxe whips and fancy different types of hats and just all that shenanigans that I think will probably be in there.
We're going to get like a bedazzled fedora, you know, a whip that fires out like trace rounds or something. You know, it's interesting to kind of view it in the context of Lucasfilm games as a whole as well, because when they were talking about their new Star Wars game coming from Ubisoft, again, known in part for their microtransactions in games like Assassin's Creed and what have you, I think it's kind of telling the comments and how they spoke about the games they want to make, because the executive was saying, you know, they want to make a Star Wars game that people can return to for hours and hours and hours, you know, like hundreds of hours. They're making this open world game that they want people to essentially live on. And it sounded very much like a live service, and I'm not going to say that Indiana Jones is going to be a live service or anything like that, but the people who are at the head of Lucasfilm Games helping these games come to fruition obviously understand how much money is in keeping the retention of players and keeping them investing in a marketplace over and over again. So I feel like with this and with their comments about Star Wars, I think it's plainly obvious that it's not just going to be a one-off. Most of their games, I imagine, will follow suit and feature, you know, these kind of storefronts in some capacity, no matter what the IP is at the end of the day.
I don't know how you do it. Like, it's not like we've seen it done well. Like, obviously, you've got like Destiny was horrible at launch, and they managed to get there. Destiny 2 is obviously a very enjoyable game. The gunplay was always brilliant, and that sort of grind is palatable enough. Like, there's enough of a fan base there that's stuck with it, and it keeps going. And it's not like there aren't, you know, workable versions of platforms for content or games, you know, games as a service. Like, Warframe tends to be one of the only ones that has a positive community and a positive reputation, but it's still monetized to all hell. But it's in a good way. Like, you get enough for free, and then you can choose to invest if you want. And there's the balance between the two is, like I said, is more palatable. But the Avengers, like, was just so threadbare, where they just sort of like stripped so much back and just said, well, you know, you can kind of pay for invisible loot and that's your recurrent method, and we're going to plug DLC in later, so we do care about you really, and don't worry, Kate Bishop's around the corner and she's coming too. And it was so all over the place. And I just, when it comes to a bigger IP that has more rule sets in place, like, it's not just a big grindy shoot fest like what Destiny can be if you really boil it down, like, you know, which components can be dragged out. I don't know how you take Indiana Jones and take which parts of that experience and then stretch them all the way out, unless you're just going to be rerunning missions as Indiana Jones or his son Mud, or whatever the hell that guy with the character was called.
Well, that's the big question, man. It's how is Lucasfilm Games and, you know, Machine Games, Bethesda, everyone involved in this project going to approach the license? Is it going to be a Square Enix kind of strategy where it almost seems like the gameplay structure, or at least the monetization structure, is in place first, and then the license comes second, and that's kind of like molded on top in this kind of weird battle pass scenario and selling exclusive characters and stuff? Or is it going to be, you know, an Indiana Jones game first and foremost, you know, through and through? Todd Howard did say he has this kind of excellent idea for it. He apparently went to Lucasfilm Games, pitched it, and was like, I really want to make this game. If that's true, then it might be all right, because then hopefully the monetization stuff, the microtransaction stuff, will be secondary. That'll come afterwards. They'll find a way to implement it, but it's not going to be kind of the sole focus of it in a way that I felt like it was in Avengers. Avengers, to me, just felt like this hobbled together product designed to make me spend money on these characters that were bland and uninteresting, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But hopefully they have learned from that. And the fact that they're calling them consumer-friendly or whatever seems to at least acknowledge that they need to get this right. Because, you know, we saw, and again, I'm so sorry to make this yet another video about CD Projekt Red, but, you know, even that company kind of fell into this same trap when a year ago or something they were saying, look, we'll leave the greed to the other companies. They can do microtransactions. And then this year they were like, oh, we're going to do some microtransactions, boys. We're going to put them in Cyberpunk multiplayer at some point. And it's like, I understand why you're doing it, because there's far too much money in this approach to not do it. Like, it's almost daft to cut off that revenue stream. But at the same time, like, you've got to be smart about it. You've got to implement it in the game in a way that isn't intrusive and doesn't take away from why people are there in the first place, which in this case is to play a banging Indiana Jones game.
Plus, I mean, yeah, it's not to, like I said, completely poop over the idea. It's just that the track record doesn't, it kind of speaks for itself. And either this will be a soaring return to form, the combination of, you know, one of the best developers of all time, at least they obviously used to be, and their body of work, like, it stands up, twinned with one of the most recognizable IPs of all time. Or it'll be a smoldering firefire in the vein of Fallout 76, where they try something that is another Todd Howard idea, like, oh, we can make this work using the same tech or whatever. I mean, Machine Games are a brilliant studio, but they also stumbled with Youngblood. I think the takeaway thing that I would hand down into the comments is, has there been a recurring monetized element in the game that actually felt genuinely enjoyable, palatable, and recommendable? Because I don't feel like we have any of them. Like I said, the nearest that we got was Warframe. And that's the nearest that we got anywhere near something where you would be like, oh yeah, you should totally play this. But actually, there's also this to consider. Mm-hmm. So yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the idea of Indiana Jones having recurring monetizable elements. And for now, Ivan Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.